This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
This is the Wausau Business Show. And now, here are your wildcat eating, eggnog slurping, ugly sweater wearing, Tom and Jerry loving, bad Santa hosts.
Hey, Griswold, where do you think you're going to put a tree that big?
Ryan and Paul.
Bend over and I'll show you.
The Wausau Business Show. The 12th thing at Christmas, that's such a pain to me.
Singing Christmas carols.
Still TV special.
Batteries not included.
No parking.
Charities.
Gotta make them dinner.
5 months of bills.
I'm not sending them this year, that's it.
Shut up, you.
Fine, you're so smart, you ring up the lights.
And buy me a Christmas tree.
And, whoa, it's going to be a white Christmas, thank God.
Oh, my God, we did it.
Stay out of the ditch. But that is a fairly depressing Christmas song.
A little too real, maybe.
Yeah, I like to listen to that Dean Martin one where he talks about city sidewalks.
No, that one. Oh, there he goes. Yeah.
Silver bells.
Silver bells.
It's Christmas time. The city.
What'd you just say?
I said city.
Okay, because it sounded like you said
I would never. I follow FCC regulations constantly.
You are the standard bearer of the Federal Communications Commission rule book.
That's right.
All right. Well, just making sure.
Okay,
thanks.
Fair enough.
It's the Wausau Business Show, episode number 37. Right. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Who's coming up on the show this week, Paul?
This week, we have none other than Father Sam Martin from Holy Name Catholic Church.
And also Jim Frings and Kevin Kraft from Wisconsin River Partners. They own a bunch of different businesses in town. And Geared Equities Managing Director, Michael Loy.
Can't wait to hear from them.
But this week we have to start off with an important Wausau business rumor.
I love rumors.
Rumor has it.
What in the bejesus is going on at the HT Cobblery?
I don't know. We got to get to the bottom of that.
Oh,
somehow.
My gosh.
Somehow, some way. We'll
Channel 7 is reporting that the HT Cobblery building in downtown Wausau, the iconic shoe store,
right,
is being torn down. And Terry, the guy that runs the place for 40 years, is being kicked out. And you and I, as business professionals, invested in that building.
Correct.
A few months ago.
That's right.
So we're primary sources in this report. We weren't asked. We weren't reached out to about what we're doing with that building.
Not at all.
But we do own that building, the Cobblery that Terry is in.
That's right.
So why don't we go over and talk to Terry about it?
Yeah, let's go. I love Terry.
Yeah, let's go. All right, here we are with Terry, the guy who runs HT Cobblery. Terry, how did this Channel 7 reporter get his information?
He got an email from someone.
A Channel 7 reporter.
Channel 7 had an email from his boss to do a story because the building was going to be torn down.
So yeah, where did the teardown part of the story come from?
I don't know.
Yeah, because we don't know.
That kind of surprised me because I know you were thinking of
revamping
and molding it into a restaurant, but leaving a lot of it here. I don't think you were going to take off that wall.
Right.
There,
so right? He told you that he heard that it was going to be torn down.
Yeah,
the reporter.
Well, he showed it to me and he said it was on Channel 7. And at first I thought, then I looked on Channel 7, I couldn't find it, but it was an email from someone.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't you saying, because he made it seem like you said, oh, I guess they're tearing it down. Oh, that's interesting that the reporter kind of fed that information to you and then
reported back.
Well, that's not always the best reporting necessarily. We miss our Melissa Langben. Thanks, Mike. But yeah, no, we don't know if we're tearing it down yet. We're waiting.
It definitely won't be a full tear down.
The other building is historic. I didn't understand the historic part of it.
Well, the historic built part of it isn't historic either because the one building before this that was torn down in 1966.
That was historic.
That was a bank. The Trust Bank.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Terry, one thing that we wanted to talk to you about real quickly here is that sign, that iconic sign that says store clothing. You've had that sign out there in the window.
Well, we've had two different signs. When Compass originally bought the building over 7 years ago, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Mark kind of said, you can stay as long as you want.
Yeah.
And then I called them and said, what's going on? You know, I've got to know. Kind of like what I've been doing with you all along.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we've got someone moving in. I said, well, I better put up a retirement sign. Yes. I never put actually going out of business sign.
Okay.
So that was up there a long time. And then a window cleaner came along, believe it or not. And I really wanted to get the windows cleaned up. I was going to take the sign down and put it back up.
Yeah.
We had to do a complete stripping of that window. It was stuck on there because it had been on there for about 3 years.
Yeah.
Then we had nothing until you bought the building.
Yeah.
And then I knew I had to close the store.
Yeah.
And I was probably not relocate. So I put store closing. Everything must go. And that's true.
Yeah.
But I've never said going out of business. And I've never been told the newspaper that we would go out of business.
Yeah.
When Compass originally bought the building, they put HT Cobbler will be closing. That was the headline. You could find that headline back.
That was back in 2016 or something?
2017.
Like that? Okay. Yeah.
June of 2017.
Yeah. And you have wanted to retire?
Yeah, I don't feel.
How do you feel about retiring?
Well, I like working.
You want to come work at the restaurant?
Maybe.
We could put shoes on the menu.
I could sure tell him a story or two.
Yeah.
This has really been out of my hands.
Yeah.
I've had 1 foot on the brake and 1 foot on the gas for over six and a half years, I think.
Yeah,
Because they keep saying they're going to have something. Now, this looks for real if we get financing. And you get the, permission.
Well, would it be appropriate for me to ask how old you are?
76.
76?
So I'm past retirement age.
Yeah, that's a hell of a career.
So, actually, you're doing me a favor because I would probably drop dead here if you didn't do this.
You heard it here first.
Hey. Well, Merry Christmas.
That's what my wife is afraid of. I don't think that would happen. Knock on wood, my health's been good.
Does she want you to retire?
Probably, yeah.
She's a lot of wives don't want their husbands to retire.
She's okay with me working. She was here every day. We used to be open 9 to 9.
Yeah.
Mm. 7 days a week, and I used to have over 20 employees.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we had a thriving, but we were here before the mall.
And now you're the only employee. Is that correct?
Well, I have a part-time employee, and then I have two sisters, and my wife helped me when they can.
Well, no better customer service here than with Terry. If you need last-minute shopping ideas or gifts, come on down, get in here. And here's Mark Craig, your old landlord. Mark, how you doing?
Hey guys, happy holidays.
Happy holidays everywhere. Yeah. This is great.
So you used to manage Terry as his landlord, and then the Wausau Business Show somehow wound up getting involved in the Cobblery building. We cleared everything up with Terry.
Well, that's wonderful. Terry's just a great guy. He's an icon in downtown Wausau.
Yeah.
He's been in business over 40 years in downtown Wausau, and we should celebrate Terry Koss.
Yeah.
The Wausau pilot story, did you read that? You might want to take a look at that. But they did mention in their 2017, when you guys bought the building, they read somewhere, the Wausau pilot, that I told them I'd be closing in 10 months. And I don't ever recall that.
I don't recall
Mark?
That either.
Because no one talked to me.
I don't recall that either.
Yes, I know when the
here
when
we
the
are.
Building we
went,
didn't have a date yet.
You said, actually, I could stay as long as I could. Yeah.
Mark?
And you were looking. You were hoping, but, you got close, but no one ever actually came rented over with a check.
Terry, I've been telling you for years you should downsize, rebrand, and go upscale, buddy.
Just a little past that stage of my life.
No, you're not.
I never interviewed with the Wausau Daily Herald.
Okay.
But the story came out, and I still have it, that you were going to do apartments.
We were looking at a lot of things.
Yeah.
Okay,
and,
we considered a lot of things.
That we would be going out of business.
That's when the sign originally went up. The retirement sales went up.
After that.
Sign.
You've been retiring for 7 years.
Well, I sold the building to you because I was retirement age.
So you sold it to Mark. What year did you sell it to Compass Properties?
2017.
And then you sold it to the Wausau Business Show guys in 2024.
In May of 24.
Yeah.
And 7 years from now, you'll finally do something with it.
It's kind of odd because people are coming in and they're surprised that I'm still open. And it's almost like I have to apologize. Oh, my God, I'm still here. And everybody can't stay in business. And I have managed to flourish for 43 years.
Look at this.
And there's nothing like what you're doing here. There's nobody that does it.
This is a dinosaur. When we're gone, and you can ask people. Yeah. There's some folks right here. Hey, folks, you want to be on the radio?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Have you been coming here over the years, or is this your first time?
We've been here a couple times.
A couple times, yeah.
What do you think of the store?
I love it.
You love it, all right.
I like it.
Yeah.
It really is it.
Where are you from?
Wausau.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Wausau Business Show.
All right.
Well, I think in 2025 we have to have a Terry Koss Downtown Wausau Day.
Yeah, like just like we did for August Kickbush. Yeah.
We celebrate all the icons on the Wausau Business Show.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Mark.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Right. Yeah, Merry Christmas, buddy.
All right, so we don't know what's going to happen. We're still putting the plan together on the thing, but we're trying to start a restaurant and keep it historic. Maybe bring back the more historic feel that was part of the building prior to 1966.
Yeah, next time Channel 7, you decide to report on it, why don't you come to us?
Or ask Melissa Langben or Eric Morotek to do the reporting for you. Yeah. They're available. God bless them.
Miss you, Melissa.
You know, if they wanted to report on something hard-hitting, they should look into that Blessings in a Backpack saga.
Ooh, I heard about that.
It is. They lost like $30,000+ because I guess there was some sort of embezzlement. I don't know what's going on there, but right. that is something to really report on if you're looking for a hard-hitting story.
Someone's got to look into that.
It's kind of full of sadness. I don't know, but that's... Now, there's a story.
Right.
All right, we'll be right back with Jim Frings, Michael Loy, and Kevin Kraft on the Wausau Business Show.
The snow's coming down. I'm watching it fall. Lots of people around. And please come home.
From Tom and Jerry's at the Domino to last-minute shopping at KB Toy Store, happy holidays from the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Pedro's making Mexicans. Pedro's making Mexicans.
100% of the proceeds from the Wausau Business Show's following business commercials benefit your community foundation of North Central Wisconsin. For 37 years, your community foundation has granted funds to organizations and projects such as the 400 Block, the Children's Imaginarium, Boys and Girls Club, JoJo's Jungle, and many more to help make our community brighter. Learn more by Googling the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. And now, our esteemed Wausau Business Show sponsors.
Experience the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center in downtown Wausau with great restaurants, Charred Grillhouse, Lemongrass, Chow, Jalapenos, great pizza at Polito's, subs at Jimmy John's, food and drinks at the Pioneer Coffee Shop, unwind at the Chocolate Cafe, stop by Forward Beverage, massages at the Reflexology Center, shop at Magnolia Soap and Bath, Isaac's Fine Apparel, Tanya's Bridal, get a trim at Modern Gents, find something classy at Campbell Haynes, plan your special event at the Jefferson Street Inn. Experience the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center, downtown Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show.
Ooh, baby, dear.
Catholic Church with Father Sam Martin, everybody. Sam Martin.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, and this fulfills a long time, lifetime goal is to be on radio with you guys. So, I mean, this is a happy day.
A lifetime fan. Right.
You have a relevant radio show, too, right? So you're not a novice on the radio, are you?
Well, some people think I'm a big deal, but I've never met any of them. I mean, but I do some radio once in a while, and it's always a privilege. So, yeah.
And where does relevant radio... Because that's a national network of radio stations, right?
It was founded in Green Bay. Most of it's in Chicago now. We all do our stuff. As long as you have a landline, you could just do it in your office, which is really convenient. But most of it's down in Chicago, and it's nationwide. It's the biggest Catholic radio station in the United States. They've really grown, so they're doing well.
So you have a show that broadcasts nationally, and we call that a syndicated radio show,
right?
Yeah, it's the Inner Life. It's like spiritual direction, and they bring a different priest on every day. So they probably have 30 to 40. I don't know how many priests, but we each get a crack at it, and I've been doing it a while, so some of the guys have been voted off the show, and I'm still on. I guess maybe they're desperate, but anyway.
Do you take calls?
Right? We do, yeah. Oh, yeah, you get some unique calls from all over the United States, and they can ask you anything, and, you know, you have to kind of... My high school teaching days has, you know, very helpful, because then you can think on your feet a little bit, and if you don't know it, you can admit that, of course, and maybe point them in the direction where they can find an answer.
What's the most interesting question you've ever gotten on your radio show?
Oh, boy. I mean, sometimes they'll share things that are very actually inspiring. Those are the best calls. And then once in a while, they'll ask, like, you know, some spiritual, like, well, what do you do when you're in this situation? And usually they'll say, has anybody ever called in? Anybody else have this kind of problem? And you say, no, absolutely not. And, no, now, the whole idea is to give people hope. And there always is hope in this life. You know, you just have to know where to look for it. So,
yeah. What made you become a priest?
Well, yeah, I could blame it on God, or you know, but
An easy answer.
Right. So, I mean, I was raised in a way that I think my parents both thought about, you know, religious vocation. My mom had thought about it being a sister, and she was in the convent a long time, and my dad thought about being a priest. So it was always in the water, you know, as a kid, that they wanted us to be open to God's will. I always hoped my two brothers that they'd be, you know, and my one brother's very extroverted, so I thought he'd be a good fit. I was actually very shy as a kid. But eventually, you know, that you're worried about lots of things. You know, the biggest sacrifice a priest makes is no marriage and family. Now, you guys, you know what that's like on the other side. You say, well, it's not an easy life either, and I can see that. The priesthood is actually sometimes maybe less sacrificial than being a mom or a dad, because you pour your life out for your kids. I go home at night, and I watch what I want on TV. You know, I got the clicker. It's nobody to fight over, you know. So in the end, it was God's invitation, and I eventually consented. That was a hard nut to crack, but I'm grateful, because I thought, you know, God, this is going to be, I don't know if I want to do this. I hope that I'm not, you know, an unhappy priest, and he's taking care of that. I love, you know, what I do, and I love the people I serve.
Taking care of your flock.
Right, and it's like having a family, just a bigger, more dysfunctional family, I guess, you know, yes, because there's just more people, and you're trying to serve them all, and they, human beings are wonderful, and they can also challenge us, right? But it's been a blessing, so I'm happy, and I've been very happy in Wausau. A lot of great things happening. What you guys are doing, it's just a resurgence of young people, and it's a great community. There's a lot of talent here, and a lot of good reason just to raise a family here, so.
Yeah. How old were you when you finally gave in to God's will?
I was ordained at 25. I think probably my dad said I was about 7 or 8 when I said I wanted to be a priest. I don't remember that, but he always would kind of say, hey, are you still thinking about that? Well, maybe. Yeah. But 25 was when I was ordained, so I just had my 25th anniversary this past summer, so I'm about halfway there. Priests retired in their 70s, typically, if you're healthy. Some guys go into their 80. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is going to be 88 here.
Wow.
And next week, yeah. I think so.
He goes until he dies. It's very rare for a pope to not keep going until they die. Obviously, Pope Benedict,
he stepped down. He retired. He missed.
That's unusual, right?
Yeah, oh, very unusual. I mean, there were like 2 or 3 cases in the 265 or however many popes there have been. So he just felt that he didn't have the physical capacity to run the church. Mm-hmm. Pope Francis is a guy that hardly ever takes a day off, so he's a hard-working guy. And physically, he's declining, but he's still very, very lucid in terms of his ability to think and to speak and that kind of thing. So,
have you ever met the Pope?
Not Pope Francis. Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul. I lived in Rome for 5 years, so I was around, you know, the church at that time. But Pope Francis, I've seen him, I guess, in person, right, a couple times, but I've never met him. So they're always, I mean, they're as human as us. And one time when I met Pope John Paul, I was with my little brother, and it was this time of the year. And as he turned to leave the room, he said, "Oh, Americans, Happy Christmas!" And I'm like, "Merry Easter," you know.
But that's close.
That's the Queen's English, right? They say Happy Christmas in England, and that's where he learned his English. But we say Merry Christmas, you know. So
right.
I didn't correct him, you know. For the, you know,
how many active priests, archbishops, bishops, cardinals, you know, throughout the world are there?
Active? I don't know. Some of them are actually very inactive, you know. But I have no idea. I mean, they're just they're like 5,000 dioceses in the world, more or less. So that many bishops, and then you've got other honorary titles and so forth. So there are less of us than there were, you know. At the apex was probably after the war. You know, there were a lot of priests and religious. We've come down since that.
Which
time.
War?
World War II. Yeah. So that was kind of, you know, that when there's a war, there's a recognition there's evil, and so then there's a response, and it's typically, I mean, the nobility of the human heart comes out. Like this parish was built after the war, and it was built by baby boomers that came home, and they all got their little pension, built small houses, had big families, and really wanted their kids to have faith, so they built the school. They saw the evil. They knew what Nazism and this kind of stuff, that we have to fight against socialism, we have to fight against these bad ideas because they corrupt us. So there was an embrace of the good. But then, you know, you do well and you get comfortable, and then you get kind of, you know, spiritually maybe lazy. So, but we're at a time now where we're coming back to some of that again, and that's a really heartening, encouraging thing. So how many, you know, they used to say that was the joke about Pope John the 23rd, who had a great sense of humor, said, how many people work in the Vatican? He said, about half.
Can you name them all? Like, Paul can name every president from the United States. Can you name all the popes?
That's impressive. No, not even one.
There's a lot more popes to name, to be fair.
Thankfully, some of them have. I mean, there are, you know, 16 Benedicts and that kind of thing. So, but Francis is the first, so he's the only one with that name as a pope. So, that relatively unique. Like, the idea is that no one will take Peter. You know, that name will be preserved until the end of the world.
He got his jersey retired kind of deal?
Right. And you know that John Paul took his previous two predecessors, John the 23rd and Paul the 6th, so he put them together. So that was the first John Paul. And when he died, I mean, he only lived to be, you know, he was 33 days the Pope. And this one was featured in the third Godfather, that there was some sort of malfeasance and the mafia got him back or whatever.
One of Paul's favorite movies.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So,
they really set the tone and the culture of the entire church throughout the world, right?
Even if you're not Catholic, there's still a pageantry about the church when a Pope dies and a new one is elected. The whole world kind of watches.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about it that's almost timeless, that the Roman emperors are all long gone, but something of Rome remains, and it's the church. And we think, I mean, Jesus said that it would be here until the end of the world. Well, so far, I mean, that's, you know, that they, in many ways that institutions corrupt and kind of self-destruct. And we would have too, but maybe there's a divine power. We believe the Holy Spirit has protected the church from a lot of our own, you know, ineptitude.
Yeah, you said even if you're not Catholic, it has an effect. And I agree, because I am not Catholic. However, I was baptized and confirmed in the Presbyterian Church.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone like me who's considering coming to the Catholic Church?
Oh, we've got a place for everybody. We're all, you know, we share a common baptism. I was just in the first Presbyterian Church for a Christmas concert.
Really sell them.
That's where I was baptized.
Yeah. Really sell them.
Yeah, right.
The weight of the world is on you now, Father.
Right. Well, I mean, in the end, the gospel is good news for all people. And so, like, the Charlie Brown special spoke to a lot of human beings. That little boy with his Bible and his sincerity that, you know, that this is what the meaning of Christmas is. And in the end, I think that God knew what he was doing. He spoke to us as a baby. You know, he came as a child to try to get underneath our, you know, our sadness and our shame and, again, the original sin that they hide from, you know, where are you, Adam and Eve? They just didn't know what had happened. So there was a severance of that relationship. So all human beings, we have so much in common. I'd start with that we're drawn to beauty, goodness, truth, and we're desperate for love, true love. What is that? Where do you find it? What's it like? So those are the things that I think we have in common. And then the things that are specific to the Catholic Church really are not exclusive, you know, that we get accused of, like, well, we worship Mary. We don't. We love Mary because she's Jesus' mother. And when you want to make an impact on someone, the mother is a very important person in their life. So those things that I would say that, you know, that we have a lot in common, Paul, and I'd start with that. And if God, I mean, a conversion is always between a person and God, the Holy Spirit, right? So Pope John Paul used to say the church proposes, but she imposes nothing. She shouldn't. I mean, there's an inviolability of our conscience that you have a right to think and to pray. And if you want to come, hey, the door's open. But it swings both ways. So that people leave the Catholic Church all the time, mostly because of the priests sometimes, you know, because, you know, we're not engaging or there were scandals and all sorts of things that people, you know, that we've hurt people in the past. But maybe it's a time now to learn from that. And I think that there's just a lot of goodwill, you know, in different places in America at this time. And we're all here, you know, at this time in history for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have any choice about when we'd be born or where, but someone did. And we think to some degree that was God. So the fact that you and I that we're talking on the radio today is somewhat providential, that, well, you know, that God wanted us to get to meet each other. And I've been listening to your show, and you guys did a great job. Somebody was telling me about one of the recent shows, which was fantastic, and you had a special Dave Craig. I want to go back and listen to that show, because we were watching the Seahawks the other night. Like, Dave Craig, they had him on? You guys, so am I following him? Because
you're doing great. And Cardinal Raymond Burke is from the area here. Can you talk about his prominence? Because he is one of, how many cardinals are there again? 20?
Well, in the United States, like American cardinals, maybe a dozen, 15 tops. And, you know, I don't know if we've had any from Wisconsin, but he grew up down by Richland Center and his dad died. So he moved to Stratford, which isn't far from Wausau. And he gets up here on a regular basis. I think he's back in Rome now. He still has an apartment there. And he's in the news a lot, but, you know, fantastic canon lawyer, very intelligent human being. He ordained me as a priest back in 99. And then he went to St. Louis and then worked in the ROTA, which is like the Supreme Court for the Catholic Church, and he was the highest judge. And then in these other last years, he does a lot of, you know, different things, but a very gifted man. He's, what is his age now? I think he's just, they can vote until they're 80, and he said he must be about 76, I would say. So he's got a few more years. If the Holy Father passes, he'd be at the next election, what's called a conclave. So, but after 80, those guys are kind of put out the pasture, so to speak. You know, if their health is good, they still do a lot of different things. But he's in Wisconsin. He had come to the oratory here in Wausau, and then he's down down at the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in La Crosse. Those are places where you'll, you know, typically see him.
But he lives in Rome.
Just depends. If he gets a hankering for pasta, you know, you just go to Rome. So.
And but what's meaningful about that is there are only so many cardinals. How many total in the world, roughly?
Maybe 170, 180.
All popes are chosen from cardinals, I guess, is right. My point. And so you have 10,000 plus priests throughout the world. You've got roughly 120 cardinals then. And those cardinals then are chosen by the Pope. But then those cardinals, the Pope is chosen amongst the cardinals. So Raymond Burke, in theory, could be the next Pope.
So could you, actually, because you know that every baptized Catholic male is eligible. So, Ryan, I don't know. Maybe we'll just start a little
Christmas.
You know, we'll get you in there. We'll get to, no,
and in conclusion here, Father, remind everybody the meaning of Christmas.
Mm. Well, that's deep. I know that, you know, Mom and Dad always wanted to make it special. I'll tell a quick little anecdote. When I was a kid, you know, Dad was at the top of the steps. He said, "Hey, you guys, I think I see Rudolph." So we went running up the steps, you know, and we're looking out, and it was a blinking red light, and we were mesmerized by it. And they, you know, it's just, and then
the tower on the top of Rib Mountain.
Yeah, no, I was about 25 when I realized it was a radio tower. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I got ahead of you there.
They blew it. I mean, that was like, but my mom, in the meantime, was downstairs, and she put all the gifts around the tree, and when we came down, they were all there kind of magically. My mom and Dad did so many things to try to make, you know, Christmas special, and it is special. I mean, God so loved the world, he sent his son. There is a God, he has a son, and he lives here, and he's with us until the end of the world now, and he changed human history in a very subtle way. Some people weren't changed at all, but we can be if we open our heart to it. Christmas has a real power about life and about love and about what we were meant for. Even in the midst of a dark world with corruption and sadness, hope prevails. So this is the great meaning, I think, is that God chose to give himself to us. Now it's up to us if we want to give ourselves back. And for those who do, there's a great joy.
Yeah, well said. Happy birthday, Jesus.
That's it. Let's have a big plate of cake and ice cream, man.
All right.
Roll it up.
Father, last question. Here you go. Favorite place to go for a meal in Wausau?
Oh, we always go to Tynan Cellar. That's where my buddy always, he comes in from Green Bay.
Right.
I like the Red Eye Brew Pub. Mm. I mean, there's just a lot of great. I was just at the Jefferson the other night. Yeah. They've got a new chef. I understand great food there.
Yeah. And what do you like to do for fun? I hear you're a basketball player and a runner, right?
I was back when, you know, before all my, I've had my hips replaced from a farm injury, but I love hiking and I used to bike, but I am a madman on a bike. I was going to get myself killed. So I just a lot of hiking. I used to climb mountains. I like the outdoors. I like to read. I love to read books and that kind of thing.
Right.
I love all sports, so I follow a lot of different sports.
Go Pack Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're getting better, and some of the other teams are, you know, I think Detroit's hit their apex. They're coming down, and our timing is just, we're going to get better and better now.
Can you send a little word to the big guy upstairs for the pack this year, Father?
If I had any influence like that, I'd be a rich man. You know?
All right, Father Sam Martin, Holy Name Catholic Church in Wausau. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, yeah.
Is copyrighted by the Wausau Business Show, LLC, for the private use of our audience and may not be rebroadcast, retransmitted, or reproduced in any way without the express written consent of the NFL. Specifically, anyone at the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, particularly Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love. Go Pack Go. It's strictly prohibited for the Green Bay Packers not to win the Super Bowl this year.
This is the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
At Rooterware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
From Gulliver's Landing to the grave of Diamond Dave, this is the Wausau Business Show.
It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Wassonians. This is the Wausau Business Show.
Hello.
Hello, Wassonian Paul.
Hello, Wassonian Ryan.
And here we are with Jim Frings, Kevin Kraft, and Michael Loy.
Hey, welcome, guys. Gentlemen. Can't believe they're here.
Hey, guys. Here we go. Welcome to the Wausau Business Show. So 2018, Wisconsin River Partners started. And Jim, you approached Kevin to begin this or vice versa?
It was actually vice versa.
Okay.
He pulled me into a lunch meeting and we walked out with a deal. So,
Jim, you've owned G3 for a long time and I wanted to touch on your career because it's incredible. You're also on the board of a technology company still in Ireland. Are you still on that board?
Oh, yeah, we don't like to talk about that a whole lot. But,
okay. Thanks for bringing it up.
We'll
jump right into the hard hitting questions.
We do digital medical records and we're based in Dublin and our number one country is Australia. So, you know, it's a little, it's interesting, but it's a cash hog.
How long have you been involved in that business?
I'd say 15 years.
Yeah. And you're born and raised in Wausau?
No, near Holy Hill and Slinger, you know, probably 30 miles from Milwaukee.
Yeah, the Slinger Speedway.
Yeah, exactly.
Heard of it. Yeah. What got you to Wausau and involved in G3? And I mean, you have an incredible portfolio of investments when it comes to real estate or businesses. You're an entrepreneur. You've been in business decades. How'd you get in?
Well, that you make it sound a lot bigger than it is, but
don't downplay it.
I worked out west for Intel, and then I met a wealthy guy, and I ran a couple of his smaller businesses, and we sold those out for him. And then I decided to come back, be near my parents, and I learned how to buy a company from him.
Uh-huh.
And then I set up shop, and it took me 3 years to find and close a deal. And the deal was up here in Wausau. I didn't expect that, didn't know that was going to happen. But we bought a company called WireMade Manufacturing, and we did wire forms, almost exclusively wire forms and fan guards.
Okay.
And then years later, we did a couple of acquisitions along the way, and that turned into G3 Manufacturing.
Okay, so you kind of rolled all those up into G3.
G3 Industries.
Yeah.
So when you say out west, were you in like Silicon Valley?
First year and a half, and then we moved our operation up to Oregon, and I moved with the operation.
What was your undergrad in?
My undergrad was the science of foreign service, a BSFS, and it was basically international econ, and I focused on Latin America.
Where did you go to undergrad again? Remind me.
Georgetown.
School of Foreign Service. No, just Georgetown, no big deal, MBD. Paul went to UW-Madison and got his economics degree, domestic?
Standard economics.
Jim has an international economics degree from Georgetown.
I'm not a specialist.
All right, so then you merge with Kevin Kraft here, and you began Wisconsin River Partners, because before that, you were buying and selling a lot of M&A deals in your career. This mentor of yours, what was his name?
Bruce Engel.
And he taught you kind of the business of business and how to acquire and sell companies?
Yeah, he was, I only worked for him for about a year and a half, but it was an intense year and a half.
And coming out of that, you bought your first business.
Yep.
At what age?
I had written a life plan when I was 27. And in that plan, and my horizon was 35 years old. And one of the things on that plan that I had to achieve by the time I was 35 was owning my own business. And I closed the deal for WireMade on November 15th, and I turned 35 on November 27th.
You did it.
I love it.
Pretty cool.
But you were in Intel when Intel was exploding then.
For some odd reason, when I was there, for 6 years, and we took a pause during those 6 years. Strangely enough, but we still doubled in size or something. But and I was involved on the systems side.
Okay, right out of Georgetown.
Out of Columbia, I went to a business school at Columbia.
Okay.
No
bullshit. Yeah. No bullshit. Do you still follow Intel being an alumna?
Not too much, but I do know that I own some of their stock, and it has plummeted.
Because of NVIDIA and all the AI stuff, and they were kind of behind the curve?
They haven't kept up with AI, but they're making some moves now that should pay off.
Was it public when you were there?
Yes. Yeah.
And so you got stock options, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was my stake to buy a company.
Wow.
Oh,
that,
cool.
And the bonuses from the wealthy guy that gave me the M&A experience.
What was your title at Intel?
I had 5 jobs in 6 years. So I started out as a cost analyst, ended up as a business development person. So I was doing joint ventures.
Internationally?
Yeah. Yep. And we did, one of the things is we did the first joint venture in China that included manufacturing, sales, and service of computer gear.
So you brought Intel's manufacturing operation in part to China?
Yeah, it was, that again sounds a little bigger than it was.
Come on.
But
sounds pretty big.
Yeah, we had
very modest guy.
Yeah.
We had operations in Beijing and Shanghai. Yeah.
Do you speak Cantonese or anything like that?
I did. I could do numbers and polite salutations and things like that, but that was about
thank you. Where's please. The bathroom?
Yeah, exactly.
One more.
Yeah.
One
more. Right.
How do you say one more?
If I remembered, I'd be in China.
Okay, good so point. Then you were fortunate enough, and vice versa. Kevin Kraft was fortunate enough to convince you to start Wisconsin River Partners. Great business plan, Kevin. Kevin went to Boston College, if I'm not mistaken.
I did.
And your background is in finance.
Yep, finance accounting.
And you went to Wausau East.
Yes.
Graduated in 94.
Class of 95.
Five, okay.
Yes.
With Big Bill Reif, number
44.
Number 44.
Number 44.
Bill Reif. Kevin, you guys started Wisconsin Business Partners, you and Jim, in 2018, and your first acquisition was which business?
Company called Profile Finishing Systems in Kaukauna and Waukesha.
And since then, you've acquired Lemke.
Lemke Industrial Machine in Marathon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got Sun Printing in there, which was just a recent acquisition.
Yep. Sun was last summer of 23.
And great company.
Whitmer Furniture.
Yep.
And what are the other ones?
So on top of those, we have two other commercial printing companies that we're integrating with Sun. One in Green Bay called Hireman Printing and another one in Waukesha called Delzer Printing.
And Kevin, you are the chairman of the board of directors of People State Bank and you're the former CEO of JARP Industries. And so you brought all this incredible experience to Wisconsin River Partners. And do you guys run the businesses that you acquire? Let's get into that a little bit. How does that work?
Well, I mean, yes, we're responsible for running them, but it really, we, the biggest decision we make is who will be the president CEO at each company.
Okay.
So we largely function as a board of directors, but probably, you know, a little bit more hands-on than the average board. You know, we work regularly with the president, you know, guidance on capital expenditures, strategy, people decisions, but, you know, we're not there every day.
Right.
And we also bring in an advisory board at every company comprised of some of our investors who ideally have some industry background, and they supplement us in that kind of guidance role.
So do you find that a board is pretty instrumental in these companies, like just having a board?
Yeah. I mean, it's great to have the expertise because mm-hmm. I'll use Whitmer Furniture as a good example. We have one of our board members is in retail furniture sales. And so he knows the industry. He's got intelligence. He knows the landscape. That's been really beneficial. And then the fact that we are, you know, we feel accountable to that board mm-hmm. to talk about goals and plans. And if things get sideways, how we're going to correct them. You know, that's important. You know, everyone needs to kind of, I think, have that sense of accountability to somebody.
And has that been challenging to the cultures of the companies that you come in and put in a board and have different expectations, or does the culture typically stay the same?
Yeah, you know, we try to maintain as much of that, let's call it the family atmosphere as you can. And while I think really the most of the time you get a little bit of a positive response and some excitement about more information gets shared, the goals are clear. Incentives are out there to say, hey, if we do a good job, everyone's going to do well. The career track becomes more well known. Things are not maybe as tightly controlled and as
secretive
behind the curtain.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
So, yeah, there are certainly changes. I think, you know, they're probably not everyone responds to everything well, but most of the time people see a lot of growth, you know, personal, like, what does it mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
What it means for me is, hey, I might, you know, I might have a better opportunity here, or at a minimum, I know more about this thing that I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Yeah, because a lot of the businesses that you guys acquire, and that's kind of your ballywick. I've never used that word before.
Did you properly use it?
I don't know. But that's your bread and butter, is getting Wausau, Central Wisconsin businesses that are privately, locally owned, that don't necessarily have a succession plan, to keep them locally owned and not sold to a private equity firm that's in New York or Jersey or out west or something like that. That's why Wisconsin River Partners was started. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there are hundreds of businesses in central Wisconsin that are in need of a succession plan of mm-hmm. some form. And, you know, if the owners care about the legacy and the employees and keeping it here and hopefully handing it over to someone that can grow it, you know, and right. develop it, make it, you know, bigger and, you know, sustainable.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
But typically it's a buy and hold. You look to buy and hold it for as long as possible.
These are companies owned by, you know, usually run by an individual. Mm-hmm. And they ended up coasting a little bit towards the end of their careers or whatever.
They're getting to a certain age and
yeah. So we sort of recharge it. We don't come in and shock the culture. You know, a lot of PE firms do that. You know, and they just and they want to do it quickly and get it done in 3 to 5 years and move on, right? And that is
and make a buck and move on.
Buy it, burn it, and turn it, as we like to say.
Yeah.
And that is not in the best interest of our investors or the companies or the employees. So we take a longer view. Our investors are in sync with that.
Yeah.
And encourage us to do that. At the same time, you know, we've been able to make these changes where we do invigorate the company. We get a CEO in there that is like-minded, and we've gotten really excellent results because of that. So the investors get what they want out of it from a community support standpoint
yeah.
and a financial benefit standpoint.
Yeah, that's refreshing to hear, because I think, let's just face it, private equity doesn't have the best reputation in the business world. A lot of people don't even know what it is, but those that do know a little bit about it typically have sort of a negative viewpoint of it.
Well, and we've been bashing Allen Media, Byron Allen Media, for the past couple of weeks because they came in and bought WAOW Channel 9 and a multitude of other local television news stations, and they're out of LA. And Byron Allen whacked a bunch of longtime news anchors, including Melissa Blangben. If it wouldn't have been for a private equity firm trying to turn and burn, those individuals would have had a much different ending to their career. Uh-huh. But you guys, are you in the market for a TV station by chance?
Yeah, Save the day.
That would be a new one for us. We're open-minded, we say, for things that are in our backyard.
Okay, let's bring Melissa Langbein and Aaron Moreau Tech and everybody back.
Let's go.
Thanks for coming, guys. We've got ourselves a deal.
So are you guys conscious, though, of the fact that, like, you don't want to do what sort of the negative connotation everyone has about PE? Like, are you consciously like, that's not who we are?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing about introducing ourselves is saying we do private equity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because if you know about it, generally you don't think highly of it. So we like to say we're manufacturing guys. We're not PE guys.
Yeah.
You know, we're just kind of figuring this PE thing out, you know, but it fits with this mission of, you know, long-term hold, long-term benefits.
Yeah, that's refreshing to hear.
So when we sit down with these guys that are selling their business and they hear our background, mm-hmm. And I would say every case, they sort of sigh and just go, oh, okay.
Thank now God.
We can talk to these guys.
Yeah.
And it's very different from having somebody come in. We don't wear suits.
Yeah. Suit and tie from yeah. LA. And
exactly. Yeah. Right.
Hot shots with slick back hair.
I took the private jet here.
Yeah, right.
How much do you want?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's a very different conversation.
Well, you're local guys.
Yeah. There's a great story from one business we talked to. Guy was looking to sell his business. The PE firm flew in.
Just like Paul described.
He met him at the airport. And they got off the airplane. He saw the suit and the wingtips, and he said, I'm not selling to these guys. And he left. You know,
and then you guys got involved?
Well, I mean, that's
what he said, thanks for coming, but you can get back on your private jet and leave now?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. That is cool.
that was a larger organization than we've been able to go after at this point in time. But it does speak to, I think, probably the values of that business owner who says, I care about who I sell this thing to, right? And they want security. They want to retire. They want to do everything.
Cash out.
But they also want to know that they're doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, the other great saying I remember is, you know, someone said, yeah, I still got a feel okay when I go to get fish fry on Friday night. You know,
yeah, right.
If I sell it to that guy in Wingtips from Manhattan, I'm not going to feel so good about that.
Yeah, you're going to run into the people that worked for you, and, yeah, and they're like, thanks, buddy.
Literally selling out, I think, is the phrase that I would use there. Can you guys talk about the community impact? Because I know, you know, you talk about that and buying and holding and keeping it local, and that's the whole mission of Wisconsin River Partners, is to keep these businesses in the area, locally owned, locally run, locally overseen by boards that are of our community in central Wisconsin. Talk about the impact that that has when we're literally not shipping money to the West Coast or the East Coast, but keeping it here locally.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few different angles on that. And one of the most important is the vendors and suppliers and the other stakeholders in those businesses. You know, as soon as maybe that New York or Chicago PE firm buys up ABC Manufacturing Company
or ABC News,
they're going to say, well, now you buy everything from these guys. You know, they're going to make those changes, whether it's the law firm or the accountants or the banker, you know, or the material supplier or the people who come in and clean, you know, all of that stuff is, well, here's our corporate program.
Yeah. And guess what? That's not going to be local necessarily.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
So it has a rippling effect.
Yeah. So, you know, our companies probably have a tendency to say, I can get this place cleaned by the big guy or the local guy. And they probably choose the local guy, you know, so you get all those benefits. And then, yeah, our investors are local. Their money, you know, flows back to them. And, you know, what are they doing with that money? They're spending it locally. They're investing it elsewhere locally. They're giving it charitably locally.
Yeah. Versus literally sending the net profits to Chicago, New York, or LA for someone in Wingtips flying on a winged jet. And as you acquire larger and larger companies, the more businesses that you acquire, the more that you can leverage the group, correct me if I'm wrong, to buy larger businesses, and the larger your investment group gets. I mean, what's the vision for the next 5 to 10 years for Wisconsin River Partners?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we can do is a function of how many people get behind the idea.
Yeah.
And so as we've been at it for a while now, we're getting more interest. We've had over 100 individuals or groups invest with us in these 6 years. And so the future is really the long-term goal here is to come up with a plan that allows that hold period at the businesses to be truly open-ended. And the vehicle that we see being able to do that is what we would call an evergreen fund. So evergreen means going on forever, open-ended, as opposed to a traditional private equity fund that has a 10-year hold period. Mm-hmm. That's why you get these 3 to 5 year turn and burn situations, is because they start in year one, they end in year 10. Mm-hmm. And so you buy for a few years, you hold them for a few, and then you sell for a few years and you're out of there.
Yeah, Byron Allen's cutting costs so he can rip up his EBITDA multiple and sell it off again.
Right.
So it's going to be for sale, guys.
Yeah. So there are folks out there who have successfully implemented this concept of an evergreen fund. And that is the next step for us, is to figure out how and who can get behind that idea. Mm-hmm. But then really the businesses that fit inside the bullseye that we want to hold long term, we could roll into that fund while still giving investors their returns, you know, providing the opportunity to get a little liquidity if they need to, but, you know, not putting that artificial time frame on how long you're going to own it. So you really kind of have a large group of people acting like a family ownership situation, you know, still investing in the business, still growing it, but not having that, you know, mindset that I have to sell it in order to accomplish my goals.
So a couple other questions about Wisconsin River Partners before we move on to Gear Equity. First of all, if somebody is an investor, do they get shares of Wisconsin River Partners, or is it individual businesses? And then do they sell those shares eventually, or how do they get out of it? Or are they just getting dividends, or how does that work?
So today, Wisconsin River Partners is just a management company. We don't really have assets. Every one of those businesses we talked about earlier is an individual legal entity.
Okay.
So the investors own a piece of that. And today, they're along for the ride. Someday, you know, we will look to sell that company at some point down the road, and that's when they would, you know, get most of their money back. But, you know, we have other examples where along the way we've paid dividends. Mm-hmm. We've returned original investments, all while, you know, paying down any bank debt that we might have had and doing all the good things back at those companies. So today, that's the model.
Yeah.
And the future model would be a single fund, owns lots of businesses, all of those profits get kind of commingled, and then you pay out to the investors through that.
Commingled. Cool. We talked about that with Byron Allen, not to keep coming back to Byron Allen and the tragedy of WAOW, but the fact of the matter is when you cut millions of dollars worth of salaries from iconic local news people's salaries and you cut their employment, Byron Allen can then take the net profit from that. The bottom line grows, obviously, and he can commingle that with his other assets in Los Angeles, California, and redeploy those assets elsewhere. Correct?
I think in his model, yeah. You know, in our model, different than his, we'd have diverse companies across diverse industries, mm-hmm. and they really have to stand and you know, on their own,
yeah.
right?
Even if they're owned by that Evergreen Fund, the operations would not be intermingled.
Is there a scenario in the future with Wisconsin River Partners where it will be more stock-based, where people can invest in and then sell their kind of shares to someone else when they want to exit for a higher value?
Yeah, I think in that fund model, we picture something like that, where it's not like buying Microsoft and you can buy it today and sell it tomorrow.
Right.
But we would have an opportunity, so you would buy in, and you would get probably, we're thinking once a year, you'd have the opportunity to say, okay, you know, I want to sell, you know, a couple shares. And then we would be responsible for making a market for buyers and sellers.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks for keeping Wausau strong, guys. And Michael Loy is also here. Michael Loy is the president of Geared Equity.
Yep. Managing director.
And Geared Equity is in partnership with Mr. Jim Frings as well, but solely independent from Wisconsin River Partners.
Jim is the link between us and Wisconsin River Partners. I mean, they're two separate businesses, two separate endeavors, but Jim physically actually sits right between Kevin and I. So,
he literally is the link between the two of you.
He is, yeah. Yeah. And Michael, let's get into your background a little bit. You came to Wausau, correct me if I'm wrong, because you were the HR. You got hired to do HR at the city of Wausau, right?
Yeah, I did. So in 2011, my wife and I were looking to get closer to northern Wisconsin. I grew up in Land O'Lakes and she was from the UP. And so Wausau is kind of like the last city north.
Yeah.
And so we just started looking for jobs in Wausau. And I was in human resources at the time. And Wausau was advertising a half-time human resources position.
Okay.
And so I said, well, I'll take a shot at it. I was 26 years old at the time. And I said, well, in the other half-time, I'll, you know, look at starting a business or I'll just look at doing other things. But let's get to Wausau and figure that out.
Yeah.
Well, before the interview process was over, it got moved to a full-time position. And so I was there doing that permanently.
And working for the mayor then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Tipple was the mayor at the time. Jim was incredibly gracious to me. He really instilled in me the love for the community and being involved in the community. He personally took me to a number of different things. And I really appreciated that. And it's always been part of who I am.
Yeah. And you're currently the president of the United Way board.
Correct.
You were also serving as CEO of North Central Healthcare for a while during their big expansion.
Right. And that's frankly why I got involved in real estate and was interested in that. So the backstory on that is I finished my MBA at Madison in 2017. And so that piqued the interest in finance. And at that point, I was a member of Vistage and Jim was a Vistage member with me. And Kevin was part of our group when I first started as well.
Yeah, me too.
You were to that.
I wasn't. I feel left out.
Get in there.
Wait a minute. Is this a Vistage meeting?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
We had standards.
Yeah. I didn't make the cut.
Yeah. And it was a great group and I had a lot of fun. But, you know, so the genesis of how I got involved with Geared Equity is, one, I was very interested in that major redevelopment project in North Central where we, you know, started from an idea and into reality. And it was a lot of fun.
How many million was that project?
It was 73 million.
Yeah.
And some of it was new development and some of it was, you know, reimagination of space. And it was a fun process. I really, really enjoyed it. And at a Vistage meeting, I was there one day and Jim was sitting there and he was writing notes and doing math on the back of a piece of paper. And I said, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
And he told me what he was doing in the real estate space. And I said, that's pretty cool. And he had a guy had been working for him after he started the company in 2019 and he had recently left. And we just got to talking and it just seemed like a great opportunity. And he had a couple projects projects that were underway, and there's a big portfolio that we were walking into already that we needed to manage, and it's been fun for the last 4 years.
So Geared Equity is not just in central Wisconsin. It's all over the United States, and it has to do with a real estate management portfolio. Can you describe a little more specifically what Geared Equity does and is?
Yeah, we invest in multifamily or industrial real estate, and we have done both acquisitions of existing assets and then also ground up developments. We've done a number of those over the last 4 years in both multifamily and industrial space.
In various places, including in Wausau.
Correct.
Right over here. Can you describe what Velveteen, I always call it the Velveteen Plum Building.
Yeah. Mike would like that.
Yeah.
But I think that we've had two projects here in Wausau, and both have been and will be very successful. The first was Mountain Lanes. That was a project Jim had started in 2019 before I came in, but I got involved with it on kind of the back end of that project. And then Banter Wausau is the project that I was part of from start to finish. That's become successful.
So and both of those were done in conjunction with Raleigh Lockery.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's Raleigh's role in that?
We were partners, or our partners still in the Wausau Banter project.
Yeah.
We were in the previous one as well, Mountain Lane.
You know, our role in that was to raise the equity piece.
Okay.
To bring the investor group in and to help manage the asset and give people the opportunity to invest in a project like that with a private equity space. And, you know, he played the development role in those two projects.
And how much were those two buildings? Roughly.
The Mountain Lanes was about $12 million to build.
Okay.
Banter was around 30.
One of the big things, we were just in the chamber, one of the big things they're working on and problems we have is not enough places for people to live and move to. So, you know, we applaud these projects where we're putting up housing and doing this type of thing to get people back into Wausau, which is a big thing we're working on.
Yeah, you can't grow a community, you can't grow the population of a community to provide employees for all these businesses to stay here if you don't have places for people to live. So how is the inventory in the Wausau area looking? I mean, do we need, how many more units do we need? We got 150 units going up over here outside of Hom Furniture. How many more are necessary?
Yeah, I think I've seen numbers on that, and you know, it's probably a couple hundred.
Like the deficit's a couple hundred?
Yeah, it may be even higher than that.
Sure. Right. Do all of your businesses in Wisconsin River Partners have open positions right now? I'm just curious. Roughly the majority?
Yeah, literally all of them that I know of have open positions right now.
That is wild.
Yeah.
And they've all successfully brought people to the area. And
That's awesome.
To follow up on, you know, I think it attracts a certain type of person who wants to take advantage, not just the nightlife, but everything the community's doing is spot on with the ski hill, the mountain biking plans, you know, all the outdoor activity.
Quality of life.
You know, the people who have come here, they want to be able to do all that stuff. They want to work their job, but they want to be able to do all that stuff easily.
Yeah.
You know, minus the 60-minute commute, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
All the other BS of the big city.
In terms of top line revenue, I wanted to ask what Wisconsin River Partners has under management, roughly.
I think the number is about $75 million now.
Okay, and five or six businesses total?
So six total transactions. Three of those are being, you know, integrated into one organization. So
the industry.
Yeah, okay. So four standalone businesses.
Got it.
Cool.
And Michael, how many properties and units do you guys have under management at Geared Equity now?
We have in the industrial side, I think there's eight or nine properties, just over 1 million square feet in the state of Wisconsin. And then we have one that's a private equity deal that is about 243,000 square feet that we're expanding, 100,000 square feet for a company down in Darien right now. And then on the multifamily side, we've got three properties here in Wisconsin that are under syndication or part of Geared Equity. And then, you know, of course, Jim has properties in California and Colorado and other things that we help manage.
Jim, how many units do you own?
I would say, including the ones in Wisconsin, you know, it's probably, I don't know, 400, 500.
Something like apartment that. Units, basically. Yeah. 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 Very cool. Well, if you guys want to talk to Byron Allen, we could get him on the horn. WAOW.
You can tell him how to do things right.
Add some media to your portfolio. We're also willing to sell you the Wausau Business Show. That will, all the profits there will go to the Community Foundation.
So we'll give you a good deal.
Very high multiple. It'll be a great deal, but a very high multiple.
Right.
Yeah, somehow we'll make it a good deal. Well, thanks for stopping by, guys. We really appreciate it. It's Wisconsin River Partners and Geared Equity, Michael Loy, Kevin Kraft, and the famous Jim Frings.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for stopping by. Great thing. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
One a lot for Christmas.
All right, the Wausau Business Show wishing you a very Merry Christmas this week, everybody. Who's coming up on the show next week, Paul?
We're lucky enough to bring in the Children's Imaginarium Think Tank.
I love it. It's okay. A think tank over there for the kids.
It's Maggie, Tammy, and Julie. All three of them are coming in.
And we're going to hear the story of grit and passion, the follow-up and follow-through that it took 10 years in the making to bring the beautiful Imaginarium to life. That's next week on the Wausau Business Show. And until then, from high atop Rib Mountain, Granite Peak is cranking.
Ski Hill's open.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end.
Merry Christmas.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. And I don't care about the present. Only need the Christmas tree. I don't need to hang my stocking up on the fireplace. Santa Claus will make me happy.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved 2024.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.